Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Lombardi Line on VSiN and DraftKings Network. Happy Monday, everybody. He is a three-time Super Bowl winning executive and strategist in the NFL. I am just a girl, but Michael Lombardi and Stormy Bonantoni with you.
It was on the beach. It was on the beach all week. I saw you there taking pictures down there at Myrtle Beach, enjoying yourself. That was an early kickoff, too.
I got to tell you, Mike, and because I'm a Pacific time zone person in my brain, day-to-day living out here in Las Vegas, that Myrtle Beach Bowl kicked off at 8 a.m. for your girl, even though it was 11 o'clock. Local, but that might, I will be honest with you, that might have been the funnest game I have done all year long. Our crew had a blast. We totally played up the Myrtle Beach of it all. The game ended up being fun in the second half, so it was a win all around, and I got to wear tie-dye. Not much better than that, Michael. Where's your tie-dye t-shirt?
Yeah, I need one of those. I got Sienna here now. Maybe she'll make me one.
I mean, the
little two-year-old. Yeah, we finally have a girl in the house. So God knows what we could be coming up with now.
Love to see. I'm sure that was number one on your Christmas wish list. No question. Let's talk a little bit about yesterday in the NFL, though, because obviously a huge win for the Buffalo Bills yesterday. We see both the Ravens and 49ers really cement themselves as top seeds in their respective conferences. What was maybe the most impressive performance of the day in your eyes?
Well, obviously Buffalo, 49 rushing attempts, taking out Dallas like it was no big deal, right? Mm-hmm. Small potatoes. But we think Dallas, you know, Jay Glazer reported they had 10 guys with the flu. I'm not making excuses. Dallas got their butts beat. They go home, tail between the legs. But look, I don't think you feel bad if you're a Dallas Cowboy fan, because you're not going to win the East, but you're going to be you'll be the fifth seed, which means you'll play the South. What's wrong with that? Go into Tampa, go into Atlanta, go into New Orleans. What do you care? Those three teams can't beat you, or they shouldn't beat you. Let me say that to you. So why not? You know, that means you got to play three on the road. Well, life's hard, right? Life is hard. You didn't win the games that you need to win, but to get to a Super Bowl, you got to face hard and you got to defeat hard. So, you know, for as bad as it is, and Stephen A is going to get on his show today and put the cowboy hat and make fun of you, just know that instead of having the two seed and having to go play a good team, you get to play that South winner. Why not? You know, the other thing I think this weekend taught me a lot about was you got to manage and understand what teams are going to give you a level of performance that you could count on, right? The Niners are a serious team. Baltimore's a serious team. They're not going to let down. Baltimore went down to Jacksonville last year and lost 28-27, right? They were 3.5-point favorite in the game. They didn't play their A game. I thought they played a B-minus game, especially offensively, where they were a little bit ragged. But they come out of there with a win. That shows me they have mental toughness. Same thing with San Francisco. Gave up over 200 yards on the ground. I know a lot of it was late in the game, but didn't tackle. I didn't think San Francisco tackled very well. But part of this betting thing, I think you got to take into consideration teams that will play hard that are not looking past the next game. And I think we learned that yesterday. I think that was the case. And, you know, Houston coming back from behind 16-3 to be able to come and win that game in overtime, they kept giving effort.
Well, and you talk about Dallas, too. My thing with them, and I do hope that maybe it was just a step back with the flu bug running rampant throughout that team. Like, I hope that that's what it was, because this is a team that we know has struggled mightily when it comes to performing in the playoffs. And when you have a big game like this down the stretch, when you're supposed to be hitting your stride, when we thought that this was maybe a different Cowboys team than years of old, to lay an egg like that, I don't think you can have. And it makes me a little bit nervous for them when we do get to playoff time. But because of those contenders, as you mentioned, Ravens and 49ers about to go head to head this coming week. 49ers, a 5-point favorite in that spot. That number surprised me a little bit, but I mean, a great game on tap coming up on Christmas.
Right. And I think there's certain plays that Baltimore's offense makes that you say, can they do that against a good defense? Can they do that against a good tackling defense? They did it against Jacksonville, but can they do it against a San Francisco? I think the Mitchell injury affects Baltimore as well. Right. And I think Ronnie Stanley, he's in concussion protocol. You play San Francisco, you need your best left tackle on the field. So I think there's a combination of a couple things. Look, one thing we know about Baltimore, and I'll keep saying this, is Baltimore's mentally and physically tough. Right. I think at this time of the year, back teams that are mentally and physically tough. Right. The Chiefs did not play very well. Didn't score in the fourth quarter again yesterday. Won the game. And I thought they played their B game, you know. Green Bay, not mentally and physically tough. They let a Tampa Bay Buccaneer team come in there and put 34 on them. I mean, that's disheartening. That's really disheartening. The Commanders, right? Everybody was on the Commanders. Everything in the professional betting world, professional bettors love the Commanders. The line went to 7 and went right back to 6.5. And, you know, there's nothing to the Commanders. They have no effort. They're really not well coached at all. And, you know, wherever they go, now this week they're going to be a 3-point dog to the Jets, which is their contemporary and bad. Where do you go? I get to promise you this, Stormy. You can write this down. Elliot, that'll be my Hall Notes play for next week. Like, there's no debate on that. There's no way you're getting me to touch either side on that game.
I love that it's already planned out. And yeah, the Rams do. They win and cover that game, 6.5-point spread. They were in control from start to finish, it looked like. I had that game paired with the 49ers in a teaser yesterday. Could have just ended up laying the spread in both of those instances and won a 2-game parlay. But you know I love my teaser, so I can't step aside. Also, what you said about the NFC South, Carolina, look at them getting their first win, getting their second win, first win in a while against the Atlanta Falcons. Just an abysmal performance from them. I don't know what Arthur Smith has against using Bijan Robinson. It's like, oh, if we have an amazing weapon on our team, why even worry about it? Especially in the rain when we could hand the ball off to him. Nope, let's not do it. But
well, you know the play that drove me crazy, Stormy? This is a Bill Walsh violation of the highest code. Never Walsh would want a quarterback rolling to his non-throwing hand and throwing. If he was running boots or nakeds, it was always to the quarterback right. Now, that's predictable, but he didn't think it was fair to the quarterback to turn and not be able to get his feet underneath him, set up and throw. That throw Ridder had was horrendous, but it still doesn't excuse the fact that the Falcon defense let this team come all the way back down the field. Look, the Falcons offense in week one of the season, if you go back and look at those numbers, they struggled to move the ball against Carolina in that game. Carolina just turned it over. So, you know, that was an Arthur Smith game that if he gets fired at the end of the year, he's going to look back and say, this one cost me, right? Mm-hmm. Like when you look back at Josh McDaniels, starting Brian Hoyer and letting his team, that cost him.
I'm glad you said that because that was going to be my follow-up is, okay, do we have another coach that's official? Seems like he's going to be done this year because I feel like it's another team that's just gone from bad to worse.
Yeah, I think they don't identify what the problems are. And I think a lot of it's going to depend on who's out there. Would Arthur Smith be encouraged to hire Jim Harbaugh if he could get him? Like, who could he get to come to the city of Atlanta? I think that's a question he's got to answer. Would Kirby Smart be, why would he ever leave Georgia? I have no idea, but could he get him? You know, I mean, Nick Saban wanted to be in pro football at one time, and he ended up taking the Miami job. So I think there's going to have to be some conversation about that, because where are we going with Atlanta? Mm. I mean, you got these skill players, but you don't have a good team. You don't have a good team. They're so unpredictable. They are so hard to bet on. And that was why that was my Hall & Oates play, because I couldn't predict. Plus, you had the weathering, you know?
Yeah,
I'll tell you the other one we can't overcome. The other thing I learned about this weekend is, don't take for, you know, the Mike Tomlin dog theory is out the window, because as long as he's playing with Mitchell Trubisky, which he's no longer doing, he's seen enough of that, right? He's going to Mason Rudolph, who hasn't thrown a pass since 2021. I mean, the Steelers just don't have good chemistry right now. You know, Pickens, the receiver, is a moody, causing all sorts of disruption within their team. George Pickens, you know, he's a great talent. He's got great skill. But they can't get him the football. And what do we always say about receivers that can't get the ball? They cause more problems than they solve.
We'll talk more about the Steelers in a moment, Michael, when we come back from this next break. But I want to make sure we touch on Monday Night Football coming up tonight. Eagles laying in 3.5 in Seattle against the Seahawks. It looks as if Jalen Hurts, despite dealing with an illness that's gotten progressively worse, according to reports from Thursday to now, had to fly separately out there to Seattle, that he is going to give it a go. At least that's what it appears like based on the reports that I have seen. However, Darius Slay had his knee scoped, so he's going to be out as well. Their linebacker, Zach Cunningham, up front on the offensive line, no Cam Jurgens either. For Seattle, Geno Smith been dealing with a groin injury that just continues to linger. They're also not going to have one of their wide receivers, Eskridges, as is Devin Witherspoon, Jamal Adams as well. So some injuries update you on for Monday Night Football. And then you throw in Matt Patricia is going to be being the defensive play caller for Philadelphia as well. So a lot to break down here.
Yeah, well, I mean, look, they had to make it. They tried to do something different, right? I think a lot of this is the strategy within the game. You know, when the players get embarrassed on the field, when Bradbury is getting called out that he can't cover, when Slay only called by Slay, can't cover. You know, when that when they're getting beat, you know, there's something about the scheme's got to be able to protect them. And Sean Desai, I think he got caught up in this. And now, look, we know the Eagles have wanted to hire Vic Fangio. They wanted Vic. They couldn't get Vic because Gannon didn't take the job at Arizona yet. And then when he did, it was too late to get Fangio. So now they get Patricia to come in. And I think this is really about adjusting. I think this is about in-game and having some confidence in the hello. Look, we're going to fix this problem. We're going to be able to say, okay, here's what Seattle's doing. Here's how we're going to fix it. I think there's a lot to that.
I know at the end of this hour, we'll give like our full opinion on this game, but where things sit right now, would this be a Hall & Oates type of a game to stay away from, or do you have a feel one way or another?
I think they'll play better defensively. And I think if you're going to get Drew Locke, right? I mean, the Eagles should take advantage of the Seattle offensive line. They should. Can they? I don't know. Seattle, Kenneth Walker can run the ball. One thing Seattle has is weapons. It's hard to cover Metcalf, but Metcalf's a time bomb. You don't get him the ball early in the game, he can hurt you as much as help you. Mm. And then how does Seattle stop him from running the ball? Seattle's defense has been really bad all year long. I mean, they're horrible on third down. They can't get control of the game. I just think, to me, it's going to be a challenge. I don't know. Seattle has great skill, but are they a great team?
First time under Pete Carroll that Seattle has had a four-game losing streak. Will that get extended today at home against the Philadelphia Eagles? We'll have to wait and see. But again, we'll revisit this game at the end of the hour. When we come back, a lot of guys need a talking to, and they're stepping into Michael's office.
Former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here's your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Looking to bet smarter? Then VSiN's got the perfect holiday gift for you. Sign up on our holiday special today. You'll get VSiN Pro access to everything we do from now through May 1st for only $79. Sign up today. You'll get unlimited access to our daily best bets, exclusive betting splits, premium analysis, and 24/7 video, plus all of our betting guides and best bets for all of the college bowl games that are coming up, the Super Bowl, and March Madness. Don't miss out. It's a limited time holiday offer. Visit VSiN.com/subscribe. VSiN.com/subscribe.
The appointments are lined up.
You waiting for somebody in there?
Got an appointment.
And it's not about what you want to hear, but what you need to hear.
It's not personal. It's strictly business.
It's time you and me had a private talk where step into my office.
It's Step Into My Office with Michael Lombardi. Mr. Lombardi, we'll see you now.
Okay, let's put the Cowboys' illness aside because I did not hear Dak Prescott included in any of these conversations. So he's going to step into the office here, Michael. Despite leapfrogging Brock Purdy last week as a favorite for MVP, ends up having a performance where he just has 134 yards, no touchdowns, an interception against the Bills. Dallas, where they're 7-0 at home this season, they're 3-4 on the road, look like a completely different team, and it's another big game where they can't deliver. So if he's sitting at your desk today, what does Dak need to hear after yet another rough loss on the road?
Well, I think sometimes in winning and losing, we learn a lot about ourselves. We can learn what we do when we win. We can learn what we can't do when we lose. And one thing we've learned when you guys go on the road is you can't play from behind. And that is really what it is. And you had a nice drive to start the game, and it kind of went downhill with the holding call. You've got to be able to play fast, win the first quarter. It's really important for your team to execute those 10, 12 play drive to start the game off. And you've got to find a way to deliver some mental toughness to your team. As the leader of the team, you're going to have to really set the stage here, because you're going to have to go on the road. You're going to be the fourth, you'll be the fifth seed. You won't win the East. And you're going to have to win three road playoff games, maybe in New Orleans, maybe in Tampa Bay, which are doable. And we've seen great teams come from behind and win three road teams. Eli Manning being the perfect example with the New York Football Giants. So I think that's got to be your mindset. Like, what becomes hard has to be something you embrace. And you've got to be able to be as the leader. Look, we've said this all year long. If you're going to lose, it's going to be because your defense didn't play well enough. Well, now you know that in a physical game, your defense, whether it was with the flu or not, can't play well enough. I think it's really on you to challenge the team to block out the noise because it's coming at you. And just focus on what you guys do and start fast. Miami this week can't play from behind. Don't let Miami get ahead of you. You play from in front.
I hope he takes that to heart because Dak Prescott's playoff record is not good. And his record against teams on the road that are over 500, so playing good teams on the road, 6-13 straight up in his career. So he really needs to listen to you, Michael, if they want to turn that narrative around. How about Mike Tomlin? This Pittsburgh Steelers team started the season 7-4. They were exceeding expectations left and right. They have since dropped three straight games at risk of Mike Tomlin having his first losing season in Pittsburgh. He told reporters after the game, quote, "I don't necessarily have the answers as we sit here today. What should Tomlin's message to the team be to finish this season strong and get my season win total over, Michael? I need this."
Well, I think what we're seeing is the erosion of culture. And a guy who's a tremendous culture builder knows that the culture of this team right now is can't stay together, whether it's because of his inability to recognize that Matt Canada wasn't the right offensive coordinator and it took him into the season, his inability to really understand what's going on with George Pickens, who's creating a lot of problems. Deontay Johnson's creating a lot of problems. It's one thing to be everybody on the same page like defensively, but offensively, there seems to be a splintering of the team, and I think that's carried over now into the team. And so the only real solution is, as a leader, you just got to take over the team, you know, and you're going to have to really make some decisions that perhaps you want. It may not be in the best interest of who's playing, but it may help the team. Yesterday, Tampa Bay, Devon White didn't want to go. They had no problem, put him on the bench. Like, you're going to have to make a statement here. You're going to have somebody take accountability for this behavior, because I see a team that's not connected. I see a team where George Pickens is on the sideline causing more problems than he's causing solutions. And I also think you and I both know, we've lived this, we've watched Mitchell Trubisky play. He's turnover, he's mistake prone. And the longer you keep playing him, the credibility goes. Now, can Mason Rudolph play better? I don't know. I don't think he can. We know that. Doesn't anticipate very well. But we're going to have to find a way to get back to winning ugly. And I think a lot of that starts with the culture. And if you can't get this culture right, you're not going to win another game the rest of the year.
And you did mention that off the top of the hour, too. It looks like Mason Rudolph is going to go ahead and start this game against the Bengals this week. Pittsburgh getting 2.5, total 38.5. Tomlin also said Kenny Pickett is progressing. Didn't totally rule him out. But the expectation is it'll be Rudolph. How about Joe Barry, right, defensive coordinator for the Green Bay Packers, stepping into the office after giving up a game-winning drive to Tommy DeVito and the Giants 2 weeks ago. Then the Packers defense lets Baker Mayfield post a perfect passer rating. First player ever to do that is as a visiting quarterback in Lambeau Field. When asked on the possibility of firing Barry midseason, Matt LaFleur told reporters, "Now's not the time for that." What can Barry do as he needs to improve this defense and make a playoff push for Green Bay?
Well, I think, Joe, what you have to do is figure out what you do well and what you don't do well. And I mean, I think you can't do everything. I mean, I think you're going to have to get back to basics. You're going to have to really utilize the skill and let the players play faster. And you're going to have to take away the number one receiver. I think what I could help you with is you're going to have to be game plan specific. To let Tommy DeVito carry the ball 7 times for 70 yards is really on you. If you go back and watch Dennis Allen's tape today, and you'll see what Dennis Allen did to DeVito. He didn't give him an escape route. He didn't let him get out of there. Took away the run. The game's a 7-6 game at halftime. It wasn't like the offense was good in New Orleans. But what was good in New Orleans was Dennis Allen's game plan. Being able to pressure from inside, not allowing them to get out of the pocket and run the football. And so, to me, I think it comes down to you being game plan specific. You got to take away the best receiver. You got to be able to stop the run. I think you got to really spend a lot of time on your run fits. Your run defense has been atrocious for 2 years. You got guys in wrong gaps. Guys don't fit the run very well. It's an ongoing project. And the only way you're going to get it better over the next 3 weeks, because there's no practice time, is to cut down the play sheet and try to execute 2 or 3 things really well and let your players play faster.
Opportunity to get back on track as a 5-point road favorite against Carolina this coming week. The Panthers have no home home field advantage. But as we saw, as Atlanta saw this week, you can't pencil anything in anymore in the NFL. Pencils. Nope, no more penciling in. But also, by the way, Tommy DeVito in his four starts, three of them, he was sacked a combined 22 times against the Packers. Big zero there. How about Doug Peterson? We almost had him in the office last week. We refrained. This week, we couldn't let him not sit down anymore. Three straight losses now as the Ravens just knocked him out, allowed only seven, forced them to have only 7 points on the board. Trevor Lawrence is in concussion protocol. It might be C.J. Beathard in a pivotal game against the Bucs next Sunday. How can Peterson regroup this team? Can they retake control of their division and playoff destiny?
Well, I think one thing we've learned about your team this year, Doug, is whenever you play a good team, you don't play very well. Kansas City, you can't score any points against them. San Francisco, you can't score any points against them. You couldn't score any points against Baltimore. All playing these games at home. And I think it's kind of a little bit of an indication of the lack of toughness within the team. I understand your offensive line is beat up. I get that. You know, I understand that your quarterback's kind of beat up, but I don't think you can have, you got to have to figure out a way to run the football. You won a Super Bowl in Philadelphia, and it wasn't with Nick Foles' incredible play. It was you had Jay Ajayi running, and you had LeGarrette Blount running the football, and you were tough to stop in that run game. Your team was physical. Your defense was physical. This team is nothing like a physical football team. It struggles. And I think you're going to have to figure out a way to get to that, because as the level of competition rises and you get to the playoffs, or if you can't, you're going to have to figure out a way to, how in the hell are we going to be able to run the ball when we need a third and two? And we just can't answer every problem with, oh, we're going to run wide stick. We're going to put it on the quarterback. Because your quarterback, if you're really being honest with yourself, your quarterback isn't playing anywhere near the level you thought he would be when he was the first overall pick in the draft. Got to cut down the mistakes. But more than anything, you got to find a way. On this three-game losing streak, you haven't had an opportunity to, you don't run the football. And you can't control the game if you don't.
Dean Spanos finally committed to the inevitable and cut ties with Brandon Staley after that embarrassment on Thursday Night Football. The Chargers have one playoff win in the last decade, and Justin Herbert's on his third head coach as of next season. Where does Spanos need to go with this hire? What advice would you give?
You need credibility, Dean. You need credibility. And this hire has got to give you credibility, because right now people see you as cheap. People see you as taking the path of least resistance. And you have a fan base, when you're going to witness it, there are going to be so many Bills Mafia out there celebrating Christmas, you thought Santa took them all there on the sleigh. Like, you'll have no home field. And if you don't gain credibility, and if you don't get a tough team and it's willing to play in three dimensions, this is going to continue on. You got to buy your way into credibility.
Buffalo, who appears to be peaking as of late, trying to make a push for the postseason, a 10.5-point favorite in Los Angeles against the Chargers coming up this week. We're going to step aside when we return. Mike Pritchard, former NFL wide receiver, current lead NFL analyst here at VSiN, joins us. Don't go anywhere.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here's your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
The holidays are here, and I know it can be tough sometimes to figure out what those special people in your life might want for the holidays. Hey, let Omaha Steaks take some of that guesswork out of gifting. Shop carefully curated gift packages that are guaranteed to make spirits bright all winter long at omahasteaks.com. When you do so, you can save 50% off site-wide. Plus, if you use our promo code VSIN at checkout, you get an additional $30 off your offer. Send tender, juicy, butcher's cut filet, mouth-watering burgers, gourmet jumbo franks, or even easy to prep meals. Ready in a flash with Omaha Steaks. The possibilities are endless. Again, that's omahasteaks.com, where you'll save 50% off site wide and an extra $30 off when you use the promo code VSIN, VSIN. Omaha Steaks, a gift from the heart. Minimum order may be required. Alongside Michael Lombardi, Stormy Bonantoni with you back on DraftKings Network and VSIN. This is the Lombardi Line as we welcome in the one and only Mike Pritchard, VSIN NFL betting analyst here, of course, a former longtime wide receiver in the National Football League. And the biggest game yesterday, without question, was the Buffalo Bills and the dominating performance that they had against Dallas. And I said to Michael earlier in the program, you might have thought that Buffalo could win that game yesterday. I don't think anybody saw it playing out that way. And boy, did they rely on the run game. What'd you make of it?
Oh, Stormy, Michael, great to be with you. Absolutely, Stormy. I think the jury was still out on Buffalo whether or not they were going to be a tough team or turn into a tough team this year. But give credit to McDermott, give credit to the whole organization of moving past Dorsey as a coordinator that wanted to stay pretty much the same with Buffalo. And you insert Brady, who now all of a sudden has inserted or created a level of toughness. And wow, they just discovered that they have a great back, right? A great running back. So I think, you know, one of my points coming off of this weekend and as we get into the playoffs, the running back position matters, whether it's a pure running back or a halfback. I mean, the variety that you can have at that particular position will really help out an offense or help out a quarterback. I just mentioned Cook in the running game. I mean, Singletary and Gibbs, you know, those two running backs, the Lions and Houston, what they're able to do. And then Christian as a pure running back or slash halfback and what he's able to do and elevate that offense out there in San Francisco along with everybody else. So I think teams that are finding and discovering the physical toughness, Michael was just talking about that in a previous segment. Those are the teams that are starting to ascend, and those are the teams that are starting to figure it out as well.
How about, what was your thoughts last night watching Jacksonville? I mean, do you see this team as a legitimate contending to compete for a Super Bowl? I know they're injured at wide receiver. I know they don't have Kirk. Yeah. I know they lost Zay Jones during the game. But what do you see when you watch them?
Well, Michael, it's frustrating because I think they are a GM's dream when you look at the talent on that roster and you look at how good they could be or they should be at this point. You know, the nucleus is in place. They're all young players, and I think they piece it together very well on both sides of the ball. The only thing is it's not being orchestrated correctly. I don't think Peterson's doing a great job. And coaching matters. I just talked about running back and that position matters. I think coaching matters when you have a young team. Do you want to call plays, Matt LaFleur, or do you want to develop these young players? You know, and I think Peterson as a play caller, you get lost in that. Or maybe you trust your staff. You trust your offensive staff to kind of develop these guys. But when you're seeing repeated mistakes and repeated bad habits, then I think that's on you as a head coach. And I'm pointing my finger at Peterson and certainly LaFleur, because you're seeing all these bad habits from Jordan Love. We've been talking weeks about how poor his footwork is in the pocket and how unstable he is. He's not structured throwing a ball, and it's led to a lot of inaccurate passes. And that's starting to cost Green Bay, and certainly it's starting to cost Jacksonville as well.
When we talk about teams that are, you know, trending up and then teams that are trending down, it felt like for a time that Green Bay had turned a corner, that Jordan Love had turned a corner, and they've just taken such a massive step back the last 2 weeks. Like, I don't know if that team has an identity. Where do you view them in terms of the playoff picture? Do they still have a chance in your mind, or are they done?
You know, it's wide open. Anything and everything can happen. We saw that. We've seen that already this year. I think Tampa Bay is an outlier. Certainly the season that they're having right now. I'm trying to think of all the other outliers. New Orleans, we'll see what happens. Minnesota, kind of an outlier too. But yeah, it's going to be difficult. I think for Green Bay, with this young group, certainly they're talented and they have a ton of playmakers. But the inability to evolve or the inability to get better is going to catch them. I think it's already caught them, to be honest with you, Stormy. I think, you know, teams know what you're about. They know what you like. The tendencies are all over the place, but you as a player, you have to evolve. You have to get better. And I don't know if Green Bay knows how to do that. I don't know if LaFleur knows how to convey that to the roster out there in Green Bay.
There's some losses that are bad, and then there's some that are really bad. I mean, Arthur Smith losing to Carolina qualifies as one of those which puts him on a really hot seat.
With all 10 fans in the stands, Michael.
Thank you, Stormy.
Right. Yeah, I cannot agree more, Michael. I mean, Stormy, I think there's a rumor you were at that game, by the way, according to social media, right?
I was not there. I was just commenting on how awful that it was. But yes.
Okay. I thought so. Social media had presented you there or something like that. But, you know, the thing about Atlanta is Arthur Smith he's been swimming in a deep end without any type of flotation device. And he's starting to sink. And there's zero excuses, I think, when you have that much talent. And again, there's talent all throughout the National Football League. But I'll go back to it. Do you want to call plays, or do you want to develop a roster and turn that roster into a competing team? And the answer is no with Arthur Smith. I mean, he just wants to call plays, and that's unfortunate because I think that's going to cost him. Like you said, there's no excuse for it. I mean, this team should be competing for the division. They should win the division. Even without Lamar Jackson, I think Arthur Smith, you think about him as head coach, you would love to have your owner, Arthur Blank, say, look, let's get Lamar Jackson, but that's not going to happen. And I don't know if he would do a better job with Lamar Jackson anyway. I think he's just in over his head at a head coaching position right now.
That interception from Desmond Ridder with them driving was
so bad.
So bad. And also, when you talk about play calling, okay, can we call a play for one of your best offensive weapons? Maybe. Can we give Bijan Robinson a couple more touches? Like, things that are just mind boggling that I don't understand. Speaking of running backs, though, to go back to the earlier conversation, you mentioned Christian McCaffrey. I know you have been very high on his performance this year. Where do you think that he sits in the MVP conversation right now? Because even his quarterback, who's an odds on favorite to win the award, was talking post game very, very glowing about the guy and how deserving he would be.
Yeah. You know, Stormy, I had a ticket on Patrick Mahomes last year, 7-1. I got it in August and he won MVP. He had 41 touchdown passes, and it was just incredible as they matriculated the ball, and they did it without Tyreek Hill. And so there was a good narrative right there. There's a great narrative with Brock Purdy as well. You know, I think he had 29 touchdown passes, and we know the quarterback position is down, or the level of play is down. It's not where we're accustomed to seeing it. I'm from an era where there were running backs that were MVPs, right? Terrell Davis, AP, even you think about some of the great running backs and the contribution that they had throughout the 90s and how important they were to the success of an offense. Christian McCaffrey is all that. If we're comparing stats, all purpose yards is off the charts for Christian right now. Christian has 20 touchdowns. Talk about efficiency as a receiver. I think he has about 68 targets and he's caught 57 passes. So he really is the engine of that offense, in my opinion. I think the job for Brock Purdy has been made easy because of how prolific they are with Christian, with Debo, but the production with Christian, he's the best player on the team to me. And I don't know why he's not getting more run or more mention for MVP at this point.
How about tonight? What are you looking for tonight? Who do you like? Do you have a side total? Do you think that Hurts coming off the flu can play really at the same high level?
Well, Michael, you know this. They have some pretty good stuff in the training room to help you out with the flu.
Yeah.
the IVs are going to be all day, certainly once he gets to the stadium too. So, I think if he's capable of playing, I think he'll be okay in terms of how he's going to feel. He's not going to feel his best. We get that. But there's been a number of players that have focused more because they have the flu, because they had to. They have to have help. Brian Johnson has to help out Jalen Hurts. We just talked about the running back position. I think they got to control the game more as opposed to trying to be big play oriented. We know that they can produce a big play, talking about the Eagles, but if they can sustain drives and matriculate and use the running game to their advantage, I think that'll help out their defense because the defense has been exposed a little bit and on the field a lot too. So for the Eagles to win, I think that's the recipe. I think they can get it done against what Seattle's presenting right now as a football team.
Bridge, thanks so much for your insight as always, buddy. Bridge, have a great day.
Thank you. You guys enjoy it. Thank you very much.
Michael Jordan flu game, although that was more of a food poisoning game, as we learned later, or whatever you want to call it.
But then there's Patrick Mahomes. Then there's Patrick Mahomes, who didn't play very well with the flu.
You are not wrong.
I don't know. I think it's hard. Look.
We'll dive deeper in on the other side of the break. We'll be right back.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here's your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
DraftKings DraftKings is ready to hook you up with some holiday NBA action. This week, new customers can score $150 instantly in bonus bets just for betting $5 on hoops. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use the code VEGAS. That's V-E-G-A-S only on DraftKings Sportsbook. Again, use that code VEGAS. The crown is yours. Time for our pro tip here on the Lombardi line today, Michael. And I'm not sure this is the best way to verbalize it, but I think that it's worth noting because we've had a lot of conversation today about the MVP. Just to remember that this is an awards market, like many out there, whether it's college football or the NFL, NBA, that is voted on by humans. And sometimes humans get it wrong. So let's not make the mistake of assuming they'll do the right thing. And Brock Purdy, just because he leads the NFL in almost every quarterbacking statistical category and second in the ones that he's not first in, neither here nor there, even if he would be at the end of the season the guy statistically who should win the award, they might just give it to somebody else because they don't think that he should be where he is. Michael, is that so wrong in thinking? Because I was listening to the Follow the Money guys earlier this morning talking about the NBA and how things played out this past year with Joel Embiid and Jokic, right? And whereas Jokic was the statistical guy that should have won the award this year, narratives wanted somebody else. And I think that could happen in the NFL.
I think that's a great, great analogy. I think to me, you know, Jokic won a championship, got his team to where it was. Embiid, now I know they vote for this after the season ends and before playoffs, but there was a narrative out there that he deserved it, we just have to give it to him. And I think those writers that vote for this go and vote in that direction. And I do think that this poor kid is paying a price for all the good players around him. I mean, even look, Mike Pritchard was sitting there saying, you know, McCaffrey and all the balls that he's got. You know, in one hand, Mike said, well, he's got 57 passes thrown in his direction. He's caught 54 of them. Well, somebody threw those passes, and those passes were really accurate, probably. So, like, who gets credit for that? Nobody. He certainly doesn't. And no matter how much you preach about it, no matter how much you scream about it, there doesn't seem to be, just until recently, a lot of momentum for him to kind of get this votes that he's going to need. Because remember, this is about an election. It's not a selection. If it was a selection, you use the numbers. It's an election, so it becomes a popularity thing. I mean, look, if Tua did anything down the stretch, he'd win this thing hand down because he could carry the Southern primaries better than anybody, any presidential candidate.
Going for mayor. But that's exactly it, though, Michael. It is. It's a popularity contest, and people don't like to be wrong. And people thought because Brock Purdy was Mr. Irrelevant, he was the last selection in the draft, that he's not supposed to be doing these things. So it has to be the people around him. No way it can be him. And maybe now from a betting perspective, that could open up the door for some other plus money options. Brock Purdy, an odds on favorite right now, -190. There's still some runway here left. We know that the back end of the season tends to be more impactful for voters because of that recency bias compared to not necessarily the full body of work that you see, but Lamar Jackson and Dak Prescott, both right there at +450, Jalen Hurts, 11-1, Christian McCaffrey, 12-1, and Josh Allen, who you've even mentioned earlier on the program today, despite his turnovers, the play that he has had creeping up into that conversation at 14-1. So just some food for thought there.
He would be my play right now. As much as I love Purdy, if I would take a flyer on one guy, I'm taking a flyer on Josh Allen because we know he's going to beat the Chargers, right? And so that leaves two games left in the season. They're going to get to 10 wins. I really believe they're going to make the playoffs. If they make the playoffs and coming from where he was, I think it's a pretty clear bet. And if he beats Miami in the last game of the year, now we don't know if Miami's going to need that game or not, but if he beats Miami in the last game of the year, that all that momentum will carry over. And if they're the sixth seed, which is what I think they could end up being, if they're the sixth seed and they go to Kansas City, you know, that line's going to be under 3. It was under 3 the last time they went there. So for me, I think he is a good play there at that number because he's got a chance to lead his team from the depths of not going. Remember, there was how much money was on them for not making the playoffs? Now they've got 3 games to go. And they've got a really good chance to, you know, they're going to beat the Chargers. They got a rematch against New England at home. They lost the first game, which they should be able to take care of that. Then they got Miami. So they're going to get, they have eight wins. They're going to get to 10 with a chance to get to 11 wins.
And again, if you would have just seen the box score from last night from Josh Allen, you would have been like, okay, not a great day. He was awesome. I feel like every time that I looked over at the TV screen, he was doing something important. And I don't want to talk poorly about Ken Dorsey. I feel bad that he lost his job. But Joe Brady, it seems like, has really acknowledged the way that we have to use Josh Allen. They tried with everything in their being to take away Josh Allen being Josh Allen. And now that he's using his physical tools, it's made a huge difference. And Buffalo is a scary team moving forward, I think. And especially if they do get that playoff spot, as you referenced.
When they went, after they lost to Philly and they went on the bye, they had Kansas City, and then they had Dallas. And look, that Kansas City game was fortunate. We can talk about the offside penalty all that I want. They scored 20 points against Kansas City and won the game. But I felt like going into the last five games of the year, if they could split with KC and Dallas, they would still end up with 10 wins and they win it. Now they still have the chance to get that 11 wins. And if they get that, that really puts them in tremendous shape. I mean, the question then becomes, who else can get to 11, right? Who else can get to 11? And I think Cleveland could get to 11. They've got three games remaining. Cincy probably can't get to 11. They're going to stub their toes. Same thing with Indianapolis. Buffalo can get to 11. I mean, there's a chance that if they even get to 5, they're going to play the AFC South champion, whomever that might be, Houston, Jacksonville, maybe Indy.
Okay, let's close out talking about tonight. We have the Seattle Seahawks getting 3.5 points at home against the Eagles. I haven't seen any updates as far as the quarterbacks go. This is not an official designation, but in my mind, based on the reports that I have seen, it seems like Jalen Hurts probable, Geno Smith doubtful, and that's what the line is kind of telling us at this point as well. Total in this game, 45. Initial thoughts on Monday Night Football. Where do you lean?
Well, I think Philly will go back to trying to run the football. I mean, they barely ran for 100 yards last week. When they beat Buffalo, they ran for 185. The week before, when they beat Kansas City, they ran for 114. They didn't throw the ball very well. But because of Hurt being not healthy, I think they'll go back to running the football. And they're playing against a team that struggles to defend the run. I mean, this team struggles to prevent pretty much of anything, right? They're not a great pass defense, and they're not a great run defense. So I think Philly wants to control the pace of the game with their offense and be able to play from in front. They have not been able to do that all season long. They have been the antithesis of what they were last year, which was play from in front, run the ball, play action. And if they can do that, I think they can take advantage of a defensive secondary that ranks 30th in the league on third down passing. They give up third downs at a high rate. They're one of the worst red zone teams in all of football in terms of offensively and defensively. Look, the 12th man's going to be alive, right? We know that. And Philly's going to have to really deal with that and handle it. But if they can run the ball and get control of the game, much like Buffalo did, I think they have a hell of a chance here.
When it comes to this Eagles defense, we mentioned it earlier, but Matt Patricia is going to be calling the plays from that standpoint. Sean Desai still on the staff. He's just going to be headed upstairs and putting the defense in the hands largely of Patricia here. What you said earlier was that he's going to be critical in terms of in-game adjustments, having a different voice from that perspective. Do you think that'll be a good thing for this defense? Do you think he'll make a difference?
Yeah, I do, because look, all football games are about adjusting to the game, right? What is going on in the game? How do we fix the problems? A lot of teams are slow to do that, right? I mean, that was the problem with Green Bay on Monday night. Look, here's the offense you're facing. What are you going to do to fix it? Dennis Allen had no problem fixing it, right? So that's the key to football, is how we adjust the game out, what we see, what we practiced, how we thought this was going to go, and how it ends up going. I think that's going to be the key. And I think Patricia's kind of in that mindset. And I think the players are looking for some answers. There's no question. They're looking for answers. And Sean was unable to give them answers. And so now they've got somebody that he's going to provide them with some answers. And I think it gives them a better chance. I think they'll play with more confidence. Now, Patricia's a two-gap guy. He's not a one-gap guy, so he's got to adapt a little bit too. He's going to, he's not used to defensive linemen running up the field. He plays a square defense that basically can can, you know, balance itself on both sides. I expect to see them play a lot more Tampa 2 tonight than they have in the past.
Well, and clearly, based on what we've seen the last handful of games, they need to have a little bit more of that confidence. They've dropped two in a row, nearly three, with Buffalo just narrowly getting that win over Buffalo in overtime. But they've allowed 33-plus points in all three of those games. So a big one for them to get back on track against a Seattle team that's limping, obviously, right now as well.
Who do you like
dropping
tonight?
Four in a row.
Who do you like? Did you make a bet on this? Did you
no,
tease this?
No, this is my Hall & Oates. I have zero interest in this game, Michael. There's just too many unknowns. Maybe as we get closer to game time, if we get a little more information, but maybe an under 45 if the defenses do play better.
Nothing
but I don't know if I can
passing.
Get there.
Nothing wrong with keeping the money in your pocket.
Sometimes the best bet, ladies and gentlemen, is no bet at all. That's it for today's edition of the Lombardi Line. Thanks for hanging out.